Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, September 21st, 2018, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 120, the first full paragraph, beginning, "Perhaps your husband will make a fair start," and we're going to study to the end of the chapter. Today's readers are C.J. H. on the 12 Steps, Julie E. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Wendy M., Julie E. B., and Penny L. C. The reference numbers for yesterday and this morning, yesterday 10 a.m. meeting, on September 20th was 11,941, and for this morning's 9:21 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 11,943, and our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask C.J. H. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Go ahead, C.J. Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. C.J., compulsive eater. 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs." And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, C.J.H. And Julie E., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes. Thanks, Kathy Kay. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Julie E. How our meetings work. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 120, the first full paragraph. I will now ask Wendy M. to get us started.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Kathy K., for your service and everybody on the line. So here we go. Perhaps your husband will make a fair start on the new basis, but just as things are going beautifully, he dismays you by coming home drunk. If you are satisfied he really wants to get over drinking, you need not be alarmed. Though it is infinitely better that he have no relapse at all, as has been true with many of our men, it is by no means a bad thing in some cases. Your husband will see at once that he must redouble his spiritual activities if he expects to survive. You need not remind him of his spiritual deficiency. He will know of it. Cheer him up and ask him how you can be still more helpful. The slightest sign of fear or intolerance may lessen your husband's chance of recovery. In a weak moment, he may take your dislike of his high-stepping friends as one of those insanely trivial excuses to drink. We never, never try to arrange a man's life so as to shield him from temptation. The slightest disposition on your part to guide his appointments or his affairs so he will not be tempted will be noticed. Make him feel absolutely free to come and go as he likes. This is important. If he gets drunk, don't blame yourself. God has either removed your husband's liquor problem or he has not. If not, it had better be found out right away. Then you and your husband can get right down to fundamentals. If a repetition is to be prevented, place the problem along with everything else in God's hands. We realize that we have been giving you much direction and advice. We may have seemed to lecture. If that is so, we are sorry, for we ourselves don't always care for people who lecture us. But what we have related is based upon experience, some of it painful. We had to learn these things the hard way. That is why we are anxious that you understand and that you avoid these unnecessary difficulties. So to you out there who may soon be with us, we say good luck and God bless you. Whew, all right. So again, Wendy recovered, gratefully recovered, entire abstinence recovered in Colorado. So let me just get real for a minute. I so don't want to talk about this chapter. And the reason I don't want to talk about this chapter is because, like, I'm in the middle of this chapter. I'm all about making mistakes. I mean, last night, you know, what I said to the boyfriend, you know, it was, you know, after I hung up, I'm like, oh God, I was so controlling, right? And I have to say also that this is the hardest part of the program, relationships. Food is easy breezy. Once you're entirely abstinent, at least my experience, once I was entirely abstinent, food is easy. I'm neutral with food, but I ain't neutral with people yet. I'm not neutral with people. You know, so I want to tell you that I got this licked. I totally know how to do all these things. You know, I never try to arrange a person's life. I make you know, people feel free, all of this. Like, oh, I so wish I could tell you that I do that. And it turns out that I don't. And I have to say that when I have a good moment and it feels good, whatever it is, probably letting go and going to God, it feels great. And God makes it so that when I'm controlling, when my motive is to get something from someone, I feel scratchy. It doesn't feel good. That's how I know the difference between when I'm in God's world, which is it feels good. It's light and easy breezy, and all these things happen, like freedom and not trying to be in fear, not trying to control, versus feeling scratchy, which is I'm trying to control the situation. I don't want to take responsibility, and I want you to take care of me. That's usually my thing. But the difference today is I don't beat myself up when I err. Like last night, I just took an inventory after the conversation. I'm like, oh, huh, yeah, I definitely did that. You know, we don't rise above human. We just don't. So I just wanted to say that I think it's a really big part of my program now is I don't beat myself up. I just take an inventory, you know, and I have to say, you know, pain is the touchstone to growth. And when it feels awful, when it feels painful, that's the experience that God is giving me. And every time it feels awful, God is knocking on my door. God is saying, I want your attention right now. And I want you to take a look. Let's take a look. Let's do a 10th step together. Let's call someone and do the 10th step. Whatever. You know, do the inventory. Do the step work, right? Like people are saying, it's not tool work, it's step work, right? So I learn, and I learn the hard way. I absolutely learn the hard way. If I didn't learn the hard way, I probably wouldn't be willing to change, right? I have that desperation because it's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable to try to control people. It's awful. I don't recommend it. You know, and going to people for ease and comfort, I don't recommend this because I got to control them in order to get what I got to get from them, right? So the food might be down, but boy, right, the causes and conditions, the underlying causes and conditions that are running me, right, and I just have to go to God, right? It keeps saying, you put it in God's hands, put all of it in God's hands, and I love it, it says, good luck. It's like, good luck with this. Yeah, good luck with that. But yeah, putting it obviously in God's hands, and I don't always know how to do that, but I was at a retreat this past weekend, and I kept hearing, align yourself with God. And that's different than putting it in. Yeah, I'll just end with aligning self with God, pausing, lower expectations, lower planned resentments, and with that I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy. Okay, who else would like to share on the paragraphs that Wendy read?
Hi, this is Elise N.
Elise N.
Stephanie yeah. L.
Stephanie L.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Dana M.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your first name. Somebody M?
Dana M.
Anga?
Dana. Like Dana with a J.
Verse yeah. E.
Dana M. And then who is next?
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Okay. I have room for one more. Okay, we'll stop there. Elise N., please share with us.
Hi, thank you. I'm on, supposed to share, I think I'm on day 43 only. Now I can relate to this paragraph. One of the things that is being beaten to my head this time around, I've been in program probably over 20 years, 20 whatever years, and I'm a retread. I'm going through the steps now with the vision sponsor, but we're reading real, real slow. And my sponsor has told me that's her guidance because she's also a retread. And she said, for whatever reason, this didn't sink in. It didn't go from the head to the heart. And the one thing that's going in, and that really is very true for me, is that the food is just a symptom. So when the last speaker, and I can't remember the name, but the last speaker said that the food's the easy part, well, it's not that it's, I won't even go there right now, but I mean, it's easy for me right now, for me, you know, with, for me right now without an evil eye. I mean, I'm only 40 some days, but for me, the reason it's easy is that's not the problem. The problem is the things that cause me to want to eat. And then dealing with those things in a way which is recovered. And I'll give a for instance, a couple of them. Yesterday, I had a patient that was supposed to show up. And I called her and she said, they told me she's going to be 5 minutes late. It's getting later and later. And my sponsor said she can't talk for some reason. All of a sudden, I was starving, very hungry, and I had just eaten lunch. I knew I wasn't hungry. That's the first one. The second one was the kids were very excited. They got a treadmill. We bought a treadmill, my daughter, and they were taking it apart. I was not happy. I walked in after work. It's 9 o'clock or so, 9:30 at night, and I'm picturing this being opened, and I'm picturing the cardboard on the floor and the other stuff, and we're going into the Sabbath, we're going into a holiday, and I really was feeling like it's more important to put the groceries away, it's more important to cook than to do this right now. But they were excited, right? So I said, what are you doing this for now? Why don't you do it after Shabbat? And they said, go in the other room, you're being negative, right? I have pretty verbal kids. Being negative, and you don't put a negative on this. And I was kind of nervous, a little heavy, and I was afraid one of them try to lift it and hurt themselves, which was that had just happened to my patient that I had seen that day. And I wasn't so positive. I wasn't screaming and yelling and carrying on like I might have been in the past, I admit. But I did have my faces and my few choice comments. At the end, I did see it. I did get excited about it. And I didn't really make too many comments about the fact that, yes, there's cardboard sitting on my floor and whatever else. And I really didn't remark on it, which is progress, not perfection, which is progress for me and me not being so controlling and so negative. And that's good.
That's kind.
Thank you for listening. But that's how I relate to this.
Thank you, Elise. And Stephanie L., please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California and a recovering control freak, for sure. I just want to thank the reader for her share. I really related. And, you know, I was sitting here praying. I was sitting in prayer and meditation before dialing into the meeting this morning, and I was asking my higher power, you know, I live with, my husband is a compulsive overeater. My daughter is struggling with drug addiction. And here I am, a compulsive overeater. And I relate to this paragraph on all three of those levels. But I'm, you know, sitting here praying, all right, you know, God, please show me. Am I being too controlling in this certain situation? Who would you have me be? What would you have me do? And lo and behold, I dial into the meeting and we read this paragraph. You know, is it odd or is it God? There are no accidents. And, you know, The piece that I really want to focus on is, you know, when I'm in the food, if people are pushing me around or trying to control me or trying to tell me what to do in terms of get to this meeting and go here and call that person, I am going to rebel against it. I am going to feel trapped and I'm going to go in the other direction. And, you know, as a compulsive overeater, like it says here, you know, the slightest disposition on your part to guide his appointments or his affairs so he will not be tempted will be noticed. It applies to me as a compulsive overeater. It applies to my daughter as someone living under my roof, and, you know, how I stay out of my husband's program. And, you know, the piece that is really sticking out to me is God has either removed the problem or he has not. Here's the deal. I can't change myself. You know, like what was already said, the food is not the problem until I stop eating, okay? Life is the problem. I am not equipped to deal with life. I want to control everything. I want everything lined up in a certain way. I want things to go my way, follow my plan. And, you know, I can't change this behavior without being connected, surrendered to, and relying on a power greater than me and working these steps so that I can see my behavior. You know, the recovery for me is I can see when I fall into those old patterns of behavior and I start controlling and I start taking my will back and I know what to do. This book tells me what to do. But the deal is either the problem has been removed or it has not. Either I am surrendered, relying on, working this program, or I am out there in the food. There is no in between for me. And, you know, if a repetition is to be prevented, place the problem along with everything else in God's hands. Everything, anything that comes up throughout the day, you know, what I've been taught to do is to pray, you know, is to ask my higher power, who would you have me be? Just like I did before dialing in. And guess what? I was provided for. I get to listen to your shares. I get to hear someone share about their struggles with trying to control things and wanting things to be a certain way. And I can hear the recovery in others and I'm given hope. And, you know, that's the amazing thing about this program is if I suit up and I show up, I am given what I need, I am provided for, and I can keep moving forward, you know, because God either is or he isn't. And, you know, today I choose to... I choose to end my share. I choose to rely on this power greater than myself. And thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. Julie E.B., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Wow. It's really humbling. It's really humbling to hear that this chapter ends with an apology, because even as it's being written, there's an awareness that it can sound lecturing, as I can sometimes, perhaps even controlling. I mean, what do I ask of the other people in my life? They watch me come home, and they watch me back in the food, or they watch me lose my emotional sobriety and become disturbed or doubtful, fearful. And what do I ask of them? That they would cheer me up, that they would not be alarmed, that they wouldn't be disturbed, that they would seek God, that they would have to search more for a higher power. Sorry about that plane. They would have to search more for a higher power because I am coming in as the tornado and I have disturbed them and scared them again as they've lost their loved one to a person they can barely recognize in the disease. And so I also recognize, what do I demand as the self-seeker? What do I demand before I get into my four-step abstinence? What do I demand of them? I want someone to cheer me up. I want someone to not notice that the things I say make no sense whatsoever and be disturbed or alarmed. I want someone to lean into God and cheer me up. That's what I needed from the whole world. But now as I lean into God, God gives me that. God can cheer me up. My higher power, who used to be my lower power that said you're never good enough and disturbed me and made me afraid, now it's different. Now my higher power helps me when I'm alarmed. My higher power does this stuff for me. I don't need to look for a wife that can do it, a husband that can do it, a friend or a boss that can do it. They're humans. And like me, when I try and do it with my own willpower, I don't need to cheer myself up. I don't need to be not alarmed. I need to turn to God. As the promise of this chapter says, for when I seek God, when I seek that spiritual experience, which I didn't know how to get to without a sponsor, without abstinence, without working the steps, without my fellows who gave me the gift of helping me with 10 steps and helping me grow my spiritual experience, grow in service. That is today how I come back to a place of peace. I just pray that we all do not have to look to loved ones to be this for us. If we do, we perhaps owe them our deepest amends and an apology. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Jana M., please go ahead.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Jana M., gratefully recovered in Phoenix, Arizona. It's great to be here with you this morning. And, you know, I relate to a lot of this reading today, and I can see a lot of myself in here. The first thing that jumped out to me was, you know, it says, if you are satisfied he really wants to get over drinking, you need not be alarmed. Well, I'm the addict in this reading, and that, for some reason, brought me a lot of comfort today. I really, really want to get over compulsive overeating. So when I have a little slip, or I have a day or a moment where I'm not feeling in perfect alignment with my program or in perfect conscious contact with my higher power, I don't have to be alarmed. That third tradition tells us that the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively, because I have this deep burning desire to be free of this within me. I don't need to be alarmed. I'm doing the work. I know that when you put it all together at the end of the day, I am doing the deal, and that is all that I need to know. I am connecting with my higher power. I am working the steps to the best of my ability. I am staying abstinent according to what abstinence is for me today. So I don't have to worry about it if I don't have the cleanest emotional sobriety at any given moment. God's going to see me through it. Though it is infinitely better that he have no relapse at all, as has been true with many of our men, it is by no means a bad thing in some cases. I am back in the program. I've been abstinent 7 months. I had a 4-year relapse, and I really, really went down the scale very, very far. And by down the scale, I'm like, my body weight went way up the scale. I got more depressed than I had ever been. I was having horrible, horrible panic attacks multiple times a day. And within a month of really, really coming back to program, working this, my panic attacks were relieved. My desire to overeat compulsively was relieved. And just as it was said earlier, the food I found to be actually pretty easy. You know, once I got abstinence, the food went down, the feelings came up, and the other work, you know, began. But yeah. You need not remind him of a spiritual deficiency. He will know of it. Yep, nobody needs to tell me what I'm doing wrong. I know it. And I don't need to tell anybody else what they're doing wrong or when they're out of alignment. They know it. And the last thing here is that, you know, it just says,
based on experience, like some of our experience was painful. We had to learn things the hard way. I did. Pain was a great teacher to me. I had to learn things the hard way, but thank God that I did, because, you know, I'm back. I'm back in alignment, one day at a time, getting better and better and better. You can too, if you're a newcomer. So thank you for listening. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jaina M. Bruce E., please share with us. Bruce, press star 1 to unmute.
Thank you. I'm unmuted now. I'm great at talking to a muted phone, so thank you very much for having me on this call. And thank you to everybody on the call and those doing service. I'm recovered in North Carolina, recently recovered. First time in over 25 years in the program that recovered. And didn't think it was ever going to be possible. In fact, my mind kept telling me I was doing great, even though I was slipping and going back into the food before. Now I'm finding out that, yeah, I'm getting pretty neutral on the food, and I'm not thinking about it so much, and I'm the obsession and the compulsion have lifted, but I'm finding out that the relationships are a challenge, and they have been all along, but even more so now. And of course, my wife, she's been living with an addict for 35 years, so she's gotten pretty good at controlling, and I've gotten pretty good at trying to control her, and all that's frustrating, as we all know. I love my wife. She's a wonderful woman, and I just need to really continue to treat her well, because she's been through a pretty tough thing here for quite a few years. I need to treat her well just because I need to treat her well, not so much because she's been through a tough thing. Recently recovered, as I mentioned. I'm looking for, my sponsor has told me if I don't give it away, I can't keep it unless I give it away. So I'm looking for some people to sponsor. I'll be leaving my phone number at the end of the call, as long as I can do that. And I'm really desirous of helping some people. And I can feel already some anxiety coming back and that type of thing. So I need to be really working with others, not just, you know, doing my own prayers and my own reading of the big book and stuff like that, doing stuff on my own and being on the call. But I think what's going to really keep me abstinent is working with other people. That's my understanding. So glad to be on the call, and looking forward to helping some people. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Okay, I'm now going to take another list of people who want to share.
Tia S.
Tia S.
Oh, hi, it's Nakama. I'm in a noisy location, but I'd like to share if it's not too noisy.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Nakama.
Nakama, okay. Thank
Lee
you.
K.
Who is
Lee
that?
K.
Lee K.
Leia S.
Leia S.
CJH.
CJH. Okay. I think that may be all we have time for right now. If we have time at the end, I'll let you know. Tia S., please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Pia with the PS in Paris.
Oh, sorry, Pia. Yep.
No problem. P.S. Recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. And there was two things that, you know, I thought about this morning, and especially what I just felt like sharing on was that, we never shield someone from temptation. And God has either removed your husband's liquor problem or he has not. And place the problem along with everything else in God's hands. And this reminds me, you know, no human power, no human power could help me with this with my food problem. And no human power can, you know, I can never change, you know, my husband. I can, you know, he has his defects, and no human power can change them. And my daughter's eating habits, I have no power over them. But I need to place all of these issues into God's hands. And I am able to do that, not perfectly, but on a daily basis, I am able to do that. But I have to, in the morning, I have to, you know, log in with God. I have to log in. I have to, you know, make myself available to God and click in every morning. I have to do that, and all through the day. And when I do that, I get a different kind of craving. Now that the food is down and I've been abstinent for over a year, I feel a crave for a spiritual connection. My hunger is not for food anymore. It's for spiritual connection. It's for connection with people, with God, with program. And when I'm filled up by that is just such an amazing feeling. And there's no, you know, no remorse or anything when I have that connection. So it's just such a wonderful feeling. And I have days when I feel so disconnected and I just want to isolate. And then I get a text or someone calls me, or I just pick up the phone and call someone. And then, or I pray to God to, you know, help me get out of this, you know, ditch that I'm in. And then I'm being helped because I'm abstinent, and that's the way I have like this clear channel. It's not, you know, blocked with all of my stuff. Binge food. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Pia S. Nahama T, please go ahead. Nahama, press *1 to unmute, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was unmuted. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for the meeting. Thank you for your service. I'm in a very noisy location, so I hope it's not too bad. Try to get into a quiet place in this place, if there is such a thing. Anyway, thanks for the meeting. You know, I was told when I first came into programs that I need to raise my hand at every meeting, and if God wants me to be picked upon, chosen, then I will be chosen. So I'm grateful. I do have impulses at times to really isolate, not, you know, share my truth. But, you know, thank God today I'm not doing that. I'm opening my mouth and letting God speak through me as much as possible. You know, for me, this is the disease of not enough, you know, that I've always suffered from low self-esteem and not feeling that I'm good enough. And, you know, slowly through this program and other programs that I'm in, I'm chipping away at that inner voice that, you know, says those erroneous belief system voices. I would say my critical parent. I have to retire my critical parent and send her off to Miami Beach with Social Security. But somehow she seems to always raise her head here and there. I had a moment like that this morning. I woke up and I was listening to a spiritual teacher, and he was talking about, you know, writing a page a day. And I started writing and I didn't even realize what was going to come out of my hand, out of my heart, was a lot of grief and a lot of remorse about the way I was a parent and to my children. And they all have problems. They're all addicts. It's a very, very challenging. And And I felt like a failure. And I even cried a little bit. And then I just said, well, God, you know, God sent these souls to me. I mean, I have to just trust that God knew what he was doing. And I did the best I could. And it was very difficult because I didn't have program and I didn't have a lot of tools at my disposal. So I'm just grateful to be here. I thank you all for being here for my recovery journey. I do ask God to please heal every part of me that needs healing, all the broken places that need healing. And thank you so much for being a witness to my recovery journey.
Thank you, Nahama T. Lee K., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Lee K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic bulimic from Boulder, Colorado. And this just really spoke to me this morning. We never, never try to arrange a man's life so as to shield him from temptation. Make him feel absolutely free to come and go as you like is important. And God has either removed your husband's liquor problem or he has not. If a repetition is to be prevented, place the problem, along with everything else, in God's hands. And before Vision, I wanted my partner to shield me from temptation. Absolutely. Like, why would we go to that place? Why would you do that next to me? Do X, do Y. And now it's laughable, which is such a miracle. Why would anything change except for everything? I was trying to manage my partner and manage the outcome, manage my day, manage the week. And now I can place everything in God's hands. If I'm feeling fear or anxiety or any sort of resentment, it's because I'm in self-reliance. And this just reminds me every day that I'm either with God or I'm not. I'm recovered or I'm not. I'm abstinent or I'm not. I'm doing service or I'm not. And that clarity, it's so much different than my diseased mind when I am in the problem and not in the solution. So I'm just so grateful for these paragraphs. And I just really appreciating, yep, it's my eating problem is either removed or it's not. And I'm just grateful for my abstinence this morning and grateful that, food isn't calling to me, that my defects aren't calling to me. And that's for today, for this morning. So thanks so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Lee K. Leah F., please share with us.
Thank you so much, Kathy. This is Leah S., grateful and recovered in Brooklyn. So what I'm going to share upon is that once I became abstinent, I considered in the early days of my recovery that I thought this means recovery. You know, I'm going to become abstinent and then I'm going to become very skinny and I'm going to get all these compliments and then everything is going to be just fine. I'm just going to continue listening. But you know what? I needed to replace because there were certain things that I craved and craved, and white knuckling is not the answer. So I needed to find a solution. I needed to get out of the and start facing whatever calamities there were in my life and not running from them and not stuffing them down my throat. And once I started really actively doing these steps, and yes, God is with me all the time, but you know what? God gives me the strength to do these steps. It's not that God is doing these things. God is not putting my hand. God is putting my hand wherever I have to go. But I could very well just put my hand into that cellophane bag. But It's me concentrating. It's my focus of getting out of it and truly wanting to get out of it, whether it means removing myself from the situation or pausing. And in order to pause, I need to remove myself from the situation. Then I can get some recovery and some clarity. Because if I was stuffing myself, I was not even in that mode of getting into that pause stage. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. CJH, please share with us.
Hey, Kathy K. Thanks so much for your service. Hi, everybody. This is CJ and compulsive eater in Arkansas, and so blessed to be sitting here doing these chapters. This is just such great stuff. I really just get the sense of direction here, just like you said in the last paragraph. You know, clarifying. This is direction and advice. This is how we have found. You know, the love in that last paragraph, the absolute love that, hey, we don't want you to suffer unnecessarily, all of these difficulties. Please, we're anxious. We want you to understand and learn by our mistakes. What a gift. What a gift. Because relationships are the first list in the bedevilments on page 52, you know, having trouble with personal relationships. And personal relationships for me means not just my husband, but my children and all of my family, sponsees, sponsors, you know, others at work, others at play, others, period. And I just love the word, again, it's here, you know, cheer them up. I get alarmed, just like it says here, you know, you need not be alarmed. Well, I get alarmed. So this tells me, okay, you don't need to be. So, you know, hey, CJ, you're the person in recovery here. You're not responsible. You know, I'm powerless over what my husband says, does, or thinks. Now, does it hurt? And do I have to use these precious steps to relieve that anxiety so that I don't leak all over him and leak all over everybody else in my life and get back into self-pity and, you know, run back eventually into the food? You know, that's a choice I have today by the gift of this program, too, you know. My God is always there. My God is there, a cheerful God. I have a cheerful, enthusiastic God. You know, often my cheerleader, often saying, get up off that floor, CJ. You've fallen again, but come on, you can do it. And I hear him through the voices here. I hear him through the readings. I hear him in my prayer and meditation, in my heart. And when I wake up distressed or frustrated because, again, you know, my husband has hurt my feelings or somebody's not following, you know, the plan that I had for life, and they're not behaving the way I need them to, you know, this thing really gives me a way out, and I can go to this God and definitely get cheered up. It just blows me away, you know, and by the gift of the steps, see clearly, you know, what's my mistake here? Where did I set the ball rolling on so much of this stuff? And yes, there is never a time I can't see where I've played a part in this. So compassion then builds, and I'm able to walk out in more love and be able to be cheerful no matter what he says or does. So I'm just so grateful to be here and so grateful for these wonderful reminders, these ideals, and these directions that I can start to apply in my life today. Just for today, just this one day, this moment by moment day that I get to spend with God, and so grateful to be a part of. And thank you all so much for being there and sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And welcome to all the newcomers. You've come to, you're definitely home if you want to be. Thanks so much for letting me share, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, CJH. We have time for a 2-minute share. Would anybody like to share?
Grace. Irina K.
Did I hear someone named Grace?
Yeah, Grace L.
Okay, Grace, and I'm sorry we won't have time for Marina. Go ahead, Grace. You have 2 minutes.
I just wanted to say that I'm so grateful for this meeting. Hopefully you all can hear me. I did not know that I needed to hear this passage and hear this meeting until almost the very end, and I'm so thankful that I have a sponsor and a big book that realizes that I can be a little thick-headed sometimes. It really tries to beat it into me. I've been struggling with this exact problem, and I just didn't think of it until just a minute ago. And I'm so happy to have this message of not only what I should do, or not only what, you know, I can tell my partner, like suggest to him, but also what I need to do. You need not remind me, you need not remind him of his spiritual deficiency. He will know of it. And he must redouble his spiritual activities if he expects to survive. I know that I need to take that to heart. And thank you so much for letting me share. I'm so grateful to be on this meeting and just to be aware enough to understand what I need to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Grace. Okay, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And before we do that, I want to make a special thank you to CJH, Julie E., Wendy M., and Julie E. B., and to all of you who have shared today. Thank you for making this meeting very special. So please star one, and let's say the Serenity Prayer together.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I will not be done.
Oh, you know what? I just realized I forgot to read a vision.
Would you like me to read?
Yes, I'm so sorry, Julie. Would you do that now?
Great. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.